305 Jifcats, News Radio WRVA, Wednesday afternoon. We got fantastic stuff coming our way. The inimitable Chris Ruddy. Chris, of course, founded Newsmax 30-some-odd years ago. He's the CEO of Newsmax. He is, for my money, just rock solid, one of the best when it comes to real, actual journalism on the big stage. Chris will be with us at 3:35. Jesse Valenzuela is going to be here. You know him from Gin Blossoms. Gin Blossoms are coming to town, and I'm so excited about this. You know, Blues Trampler and Gin Blossoms. Last time a Blues Trampler came to town, of course, John Popper was here, which was fantastic. And, you know, I'm somewhat disappointed that John's not doing anything other than popping on stage, doing his shtick, and then getting off. But gotta love Gin Blossoms. So they'll be here for Innsbruck After Hours, and we'll chat with Jesse Valenzuela all about that. It is National Dog Day. You have the very best wishes of both Charlie and Pixie today. Though, if you're like me and you actually own a dog, just another day, right? I mean, every day is National Dog Day. John Burkett's, almost forgot to mention this, is going to be tomorrow. John Burkett's retirement party is coming up like hell on wheels. And we're going to help get some people out there. I thought that it was a closed event, so I hadn't mentioned it. You know, I got my invite. Heidi's been looking at outfits. It is black ties, so I thought, well, I got a black tie. And then I thought, oh, wait a minute, is it really that long? That I actually forgot what black tie meant. Tuxedo. I couldn't tell you the last time I wore... Well, actually, that's not true. I can tell you exactly the last time that I wore a tuxedo. I think it was probably my wedding. So 27 years ago. It's been a while since I've found myself pressed into duty to wear a tuxedo. I used to love tuxedos. I owned a couple of tuxedos. Now, part of it was in the wrestling world, because sometimes I get pressed into service to do the ring announcing stuff, which is, it's just not a good gig. But every once in a while, look, you got to suck it up, right? So I had my own tuxedo there. And I remember the first tuxedo I ever purchased was for pro wrestling. When I did my very first pro wrestling event as the ring announcer. And it was at the Cowtown Rodeo in South Jersey. And it's exactly what it was. It was a rodeo. And so here I was in a tuxedo, and I was wearing my old uniform shoes, because they were like the, I don't know, Corfam, I think is what we called them. They always looked polished. And I had to go walking through a bunch of dust and mud to get to the ring. It was ridiculous. But I did own my tuxedo at that point. And then Heidi and I were kind of traveling down memory lane last night talking about black tie. And I said, well, you know, I do remember wearing a black tie. I have an ex, although not an ex-ex, right? We were never married. But she's an ex. And I always refer to her as the evil one. And I said, well, you know, with the evil one, I distinctly remember going to, I think it was Arnold Schwarzenegger's inaugural in California, and it was a black tie affair, and the evil one and I went, and I'd like to tell you the evil one looked awful. The reality is, the evil one looked great. I mean, she really was great. Gorgeous. Knockout. But I digress. I shouldn't spend too much time there. Anyway, I may or may not have to get my tuxedo chops back up and running, and that'll be cool. But that's going to be the John Burkett retirement party. We've got the gentleman who's actually organizing the whole thing. He's going to be with us tomorrow because, as I say, I thought it was this sort of private event. And it's actually got some openings for all of us to go and go. Now, I had my invite, but it's open to you. And you've been a John Burkett fan for how many years? 26 years, have you not? I guarantee you've been watching John, the Crime Insider on CBS6, for more than a quarter of a century. And if you're like everybody else in Central Virginia, you want to be there to give John the appropriate send off, even though he's not going anywhere. I mean, he's leaving CBS 6, but his new role with the Virginia State Police is so important. God, it is so vital. I'm so excited for him. You heard the news with Charles Pyle. By the way, Charles Pyle and Jeremy and I are all today, by a show of hands, gentlemen, are we not all today wearing our brand new bowling shoes? Yes, we are. Each of us went out and bought new bowling shoes because we're big bowlers, the three of us. And so we're wearing our brand new bowling shoes. Now, we're not at a bowling alley, but nonetheless, we're wearing our bowling shoes just in a, you know, a team spirit kind of a thing. Anyway, so what did Charles report on out of Chesterfield? Chesterfield County says, look, if we're able to do these data centers, we're going to take the tax money from the data centers and we're going to provide property tax relief. Does that change how you look at the data centers? You know my perspective. My perspective is I want to actually know all the details. I'm not looking for the one side huffing and puffing and saying, oh my God, it's the worst thing ever. Nor am I looking for the other side that says, oh my God, it is the best thing ever. I think there's a middle ground on this. And the middle ground on the data centers, from my perspective, is I don't want one in my backyard. That's absolutely true. And I to tell you the truth, I don't want one in your backyard. But if there's a part of your county where it would be a fit and it wouldn't really be impacting all that many people, I think we got to talk about it, man. Certain counties have certain restrictions. Again, I look at Hanover. I love Hanover County. Best place on God's green earth. There's no place better than Hanover County, Virginia. With that being said, I know that we have very limited economic development areas. Very limited. If you've got a project such as a data center, which can come in and create a lot of revenue. They generate a lot of tax revenue. What do they not generate? Well, they don't generate a lot of jobs. You have to be very honest about that. If you think that data centers will create a whole slew of jobs, you are absolutely incorrect. Data centers create jobs during the construction phase, and then they create a minimal amount of employment during the operational phase. What else do they generate? What else do they create? Tax revenue. What do they suck up? Well, they suck up electricity and they suck up water. Those issues have to be addressed. What do they not suck up for the most part? They don't suck up school resources because they don't create a single solitary new student. They don't entail a major hit to law enforcement or fire EMS. There's some, but it's far less than you would encounter with a residential development on the same allotment of land or even a business development on the same area of land. There are upsides, there are downsides. But you heard what Chesterfield County is pitching here. That they will use tax money, tax revenue from data centers to provide property tax relief for you, for your car tax. I still think it's outrageous that we have a car tax, right? You paid tax on that car when you bought it. I think that ought to be it. But we have what we have. And just for the record, Virginia Republicans had a way to get rid of the car tax. Virginia Democrats said, no, we're not going to do away with the car tax. And we're not even going to help anybody lower the car tax. Because they love your tax money. They got better uses for your money than you do. But do me a favor and just hit me up here, would you please? James River Air text line, 833-804-1140. 833-804-1140. Let me know if this idea coming from Chesterfield makes the big difference to you? Would this get you to move from one side of the data center debate to the other? If you knew that the tax revenue generated by the data centers would result in a lower car tax for you, would you say, okay, now I'm on board? Send me a note, 833-804-1140. That's the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140. Coming up about an hour from now, 4:20-ish, I've got a pair of tickets for you to go and see the John Cafferty and Beaver Brown Band. It's going to be September the 4th down at the historic Beacon Theater in Hopewell. Coming up, 3:35, the man who created and continues to run Newsmax. No better news service anywhere than Newsmax. Dear friend, longtime friend, Chris Ruddy will be here for the edification and delectation of all. Chris Ruddy is, it's going to sound weird, but he's close friends with President Trump as well as Prime Minister Netanyahu, just on a personal basis. And so in addition to that personal friendship, he's a brilliant guy when it comes to journalism, real journalism. And I want to get his sense of what we might be looking for in the midterms. What might we see come, I think it's October 27th is the election in Israel. He's written extensively about both of those things. And Jesse Valenzuela from one of my favorite bands, Gin Blossoms, will be here at 4:35. You know, they're coming to Innsbruck After Hours tomorrow. Of course, I will be there. It is 3:16, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRB.
With the lucky strike rolling down the alley with pretty playful Sally. Rolling down the alley, bowling Sally and me.
3:20. Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Wednesday. In case you didn't notice, we're in the final week of this here month, which August, exactly, yes. So that means it is last Wednesday of the month, right? So tomorrow's the final Thursday of the month, which means Friday is the last and final Friday of the month. So that's what you need to remember. Tomorrow, Red, White, and Blue Thursday. This is such a marvelous program. GTM Foundation reached out to me quite a while ago and said, Jeff, we do all of these great benefits. We got money. We'd like to give it to some students in Central Virginia. And we'd like to tie it together with everything you do for law enforcement and everything that you do for the military. So how do we do that? And here's what we came up with. Well, they came up with it. They just let me announce it. But here's what they came up with. For a law enforcement officer in Central Virginia who also has a military background, could be active duty, might be reserves, might be National Guard, whatever it is, whatever it is. And they have a son or a daughter or a grandchild who is in some sort of post-high school education. All they got to do is let us know. And then somebody selected each and every month. And on the final Thursday of the month, Red, White, and Blue Thursday, I get to announce the winner of a $1,000 scholarship. So I will do that tomorrow. And then on Friday, well, final Friday of the month, of course, we bestow the Lieutenant Jan McTernan Blue Friday honor on a very, very deserving Central Virginia law enforcement officer. And I am very, very excited about this month's honoree. We'll hear all about it on Friday, but it's going to be someone I think who is going to put a big old smile on your face, and you'll feel better. You really will. We've got some real amazing heroes that I've got set up for the next couple of months for the Lieutenant Jan McTernan Blue Friday honor. We'll do those, of course, on the final Friday. If you have nominees, you can always shoot them to me, jeff@thejeffkatzshow.com, jeff@thejeffkatzshow.com. Okay, so here's my question to you. If, in fact, Chesterfield can do what they say they're going to do, which is to take the tax money generated from data centers and use it to provide personal property tax relief, would you be on board for that? I am not someone who hates data centers 100%, nor am I someone who loves data centers 100%. But I do understand if we do not want China to own everything on the interweb, and we don't want them having ownership of all AI, and you are not willing to give up any of your tech, Guess what? You need data centers. Maybe not in your backyard, but you need them. So, yeah, I think this would be okay. 865 says, Jeff, hey, there's absolutely no guarantee that Chesterfield County can pass this and implement this. I just do not trust them. You mean you don't trust the Board of Supes? Is that what you're saying? Maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's what they're saying. They don't trust the Chesterfield County Board of Supervisors. 804 says, Jeff, if the property tax relief were for real estate relief to benefit homeowners in the county, I would be all in favor of it. The car tax itself simply needs to be eliminated. Yeah, I agree with you on that one. Will it ever be eliminated? I don't think so. I just don't think so. Because the folks up there on Capitol Square, they're like crackheads. You know, they're addicted. And certainly the leftists, they don't want to give up any of your tax money because they love your tax money. They love spending and squandering your tax money. Let's see. 804, this is Alan in Chester. Jeff, please, by all means, please provide personal property tax relief, which can be up to 50%, according to Chesterfield County. And the same goes for the 1 cent more sales tax increase to offset personal property and real estate taxes that's coming up for a referendum. It is high time others help pay for local government beside those of us who own real estate, as well as people who own newer automobiles. Okay. Fair enough, Alan and Chester. 804 says, Jeff, I call BS with the Chesterfield Board of Supes. They gave Google's data center 24-cent property tax breaks for 30 years. The rest of us pay $3.50 per hundred just to park our own cars in our own driveway. They argued that Google needed this incentive when they were desperate to find sites near existing infrastructure and would have moved to Chesterfield anyway. Wow. 804, Jeff, Chesterfield County supervisors have sold out the citizens. Former Deputy Economic Development Officer Jake Elder negotiated the 24-cent deal with Google, then resigned and went to work for Google. If I wanted this kind of corruption, I'd move to Minnesota and open a daycare center. Fair enough. All right, we will talk more about that, and let me know, are you celebrating National Dog Day today? If you're a real dog owner, then every day is National Dog Day, but today's the day you get to post the photos without making any apologies. Coming up at 3:35, a dear friend, longtime friend, Chris Ruddy, CEO of Newsmax, is going to be with us. And yeah, I got tickets for you at 4:20-ish. We've got Jesse Valenzuela from Gin Blossoms joining us at 4:35. It is 3:27, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is a lovely Wednesday. I'm so happy to report that. It's comfy. It's clear. Everything is super nice. Tomorrow, we'll announce the winner of our GTM Red, White, and Blue Thursday scholarship. Friday, of course, we'll bestow our Lieutenant Jan McTurnan Blue Friday honor on a very deserving Central Virginia law enforcement officer. Jesse Valenzuela from Gin Blossoms is going to be with us in just about an hour, one of my favorite groups and one of my favorite performers. And you know this because I talk about it all the time. I am a loyal Newsmax viewer, a loyal Newsmax user, and I have been, I guess it's about 30 years. The man who came up with this idea in the very beginning, Chris Ruddy, has built it and built it and built it and taken it to such amazing levels that it is a must-utilize resource. If you're not part of the Newsmax crew, you're missing out. And I'm always so happy when Chris Ruddy has some time for us, joining us on the air to talk about his analysis of issues. Chris, thank you so much for being here.
Jeff, always great to be on with you.
Well, that's very kind. The pleasure is always mine. I want to dive right into this. You had a couple of different pieces over the last few days that really, really, really caught my attention. The one that's the most recent is about the upcoming Israeli elections and how there are a whole slew of people that are doing the calculus wrong when it comes to Bibi Netanyahu. Do you mind sharing some of that with us?
Well, I posted to my blog on Newsmax.com a story that Bibi is a lot more popular, Bibi Netanyahu of Israel, a lot more popular than people think. There's a lot of reports like he's not, has low approval, he's not going to win the next election. They say this every time he runs, and he's the longest serving prime minister, I think 25 years, 20 years.
Yeah.
It's an amazing record, and he's up for re-election in October. It's a big story, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't like him, certainly on the left, and increasingly there's a lot of people on the extreme right that don't like him. And I just want to clear the deck on this. He's very popular. Israel has this unusual multi-party system where anyone can run for office, any group can raise start a party, mm-hmm. and all you need is 3% of the vote, and you're a member of parliament or part of the Knesset.
Yeah.
And so what he does is he builds his party, and his poll numbers are usually, let's say, 30%, not a majority, but they have many coalition partners that the parties even run on the basis that they're going to support Netanyahu when they get into parliament. And into the Knesset, and he usually always ends up with a majority. And those, so all of that accrues really in support for him. Mm-hmm. And so he's more popular, I said, than people think. And it's important because Israel is fighting a war right now, and they're dealing with the same sort of turmoil that we are here over the world. Some people are not happy. Some people think Netanyahu's not doing a job. Some, they say the same thing about President Trump.
Yeah.
And I'm just trying to clear the air on that issue. I think Netanyahu's shown tremendous leadership. And I think he really is a man for the times. And Iran is a very dangerous threat to both the United States and Israel.
Why do you think it is that there are so many on the left here in America who are, quite frankly, Chris, they're parroting the Iranian talking points? They're giving, this is a dangerous phrase to use, but I'm going to use it, they're giving aid and comfort to the lunatics in Iran who would slaughter all of us. Do they really have that much contempt for President Trump, or do they really believe that Iran is somehow a reasonable actor in this?
Well, I think it's even influencing people that support President Trump. You see a lot of people that are out there saying crazy things. There's a number of things at work. One is, I think Iran and their partners have spent a lot of money in social media.
Okay.
And you see it in these Lego propaganda reels and videos they do and others. Mm-hmm. These are highly sophisticated propaganda tools. We're the only country in the world that's at war and allows the foreign enemy to buy and influence the media in your home country. I've never heard of this. Like, you can't go into Russia and start buying ads on the internet, putting stuff on social media attacking Putin.
Right.
Like, where does this come from that we have all of this foreign money? And it goes into a lot of things. The data centers, for instance, we now know the Chinese are funding groups.
Mm-hmm.
There's particularly on the left, but all of us saying, oppose the data centers. They're bad for America.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, they're massively building out their data centers. They want us to slow down.
Yeah.
And they figured out the strategy of having it happen. It's pretty unbelievable in a way. But I think that, you know, the president is showing leadership. Iran can never have a nuclear weapon. He needs to finish the job. I think there's broad support for those two things.
Mm-hmm.
No nuclear, finish the job. And the president's on board with that. It just takes a little time.
Chris Ruddy is joining us. Chris is the CEO of Newsmax. He's also the visionary who came up with Newsmax. Is it 30, how many years ago, Chris?
Well, we are an overnight 28-year-old success story. Overnight.
Overnight. That's right. And
we started with, you were there, Jeff, Newsmax.com. You've been always supporting us. Then we went into television with a cable channel in 2014.
Yep.
We launched a streaming channel about 5 years ago, Newsmax 2, which is big.
Yep.
We're on every streaming platform pretty much. We're on almost every major cable system in the country.
That's right.
We're reaching 50 million people. Our app has had over 15 million. If you go on your smartphone, on your Android or iPhone right now, you can download the Newsmax app for free. and start watching us anywhere in the world. We're one of the few cable channels that allows you to get access like that. And people are really tuning in because they're tired of the big media.
I am thoroughly tired of the big media, and you're right. I have been there since day one. Explain the logic behind giving away some of the product, though. I mean, you're talking about it, downloading the app, and make no mistake, Chris, I tell people on this program, I tell people on my social media, I just tell people I know, download the app, get real news, and you can thank me later. But what's the mindset there to give away that product as opposed to saying, well, we want a couple of dollars each and every month for this, for the app?
Well, we do have a plus service where you can get hundreds of documentaries and films and movies, and we even have TV series. We have a credible documentary by John Voight in there, and many things that are really... But the Newsmax 2 channel is free. There's a lot of web content that we have for free.
Yeah.
And like a lot of media in the old days, you'd go on a web and you'd be able to. Newsmax.com is still free. People said, oh, make it subscription. Mm-hmm. I'm like, no, we make our money, and we make our money by selling advertising the old-fashioned way.
Yeah.
And you know, we find it's good enough for us to keep doing that. We will keep doing it. But, you know, it's important for us to get the message. We obviously are a business.
Yeah,
we're actually listed on the New York Stock Exchange. We went public last year.
Yep,
we've had a tremendous response to that, and we're really you know, anybody can look us up or talk to their stockbroker. But I always say that anybody in America can join the Newsmax News revolution.
Yeah, well, they should. Hey, I'm a shareholder. I'm not heavily invested, like, you know, like him in, say, Mega Millions or Powerball, Chris, but I'm invested in Newsmax in every way, and absolutely love what it is.
And we had really good results. Our second quarter came up. Revenues were up. Audience was up.
Yes.
Profits were very significantly up relatively for us.
Yeah.
And we're just seeing it as the start. And, again, you know, it's not just Chris Ruddy and Newsmax and the support we get from... It's the support we get from people like you, Jeff, and from the viewers and the audience, the readers.
Yeah.
They're turning to us. They're saying, we want Newsmax. They're making the switch to Newsmax. And you see it. It's just a powerful force.
It is a very, very powerful force. One of your long-time friendships, and you've chatted with us about it on this program before. I saw it up close and personal as we were traveling in Israel, and your phone would go off with a certain ringtone. You go, I got to take this. And it was President Trump calling up. We could almost hear from the other room. Ruddy! So tell me what your sense is. You talked about President Trump and Iran and staying the course. Midway through this whole thing, are you happy with where the president is? Any surprises that you saw that you thought, geez, I didn't see that one coming?
So I was in a restaurant with you in Jerusalem. Alan Dershowitz was there, and we had a whole group, right?
Yep.
And I get a phone call, and it's the president's calling me from the Oval Office. And it was 10 o'clock our time, and it was 3 in the afternoon, I believe, and the president was there.
Yeah.
So I went into a separate room. I'm giving everyone the backstory here. And I think he said to me, Chris, I hear you with Jeff Katz. I hear he's a nice guy. Is that true? Is that really true? I mean, has he been good to me? Is he good to me? And I said, yes, Mr. President. He's your only friend in all of Virginia. He's the only one.
That's right. That's right. He's a tremendous addition to the team. Let me tell you something.
Well, I've known the president for almost 30 years.
Okay.
And I've known him and talked to him a lot. We just spoke the other day. And, you know, I think he's very confident about the future.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's got a tremendous record he's running on. He's only been president a year and a half.
I know.
They focus on these things that make him look bad, but he's done a lot of prescription drugs are down, Trump accounts, big, beautiful, big tax cuts.
Yep.
Everything is big in Trump world, and so that's all good.
Yeah.
But, you know, the war, they're making the gas prices are up. We know there are issues. Americans can handle it.
Yes.
But we got to walk them through it. I think the communications angle has not been as strong as it should be with the White House.
Okay. That's a good point to address. Chris Ruddy is joining us. Chris is the founder of Newsmax, the CEO of Newsmax. The messaging, Chris, sometimes I think the messaging gets lost. And you know as well as I do, if people are going to the gas pumps today, at least here in Central Virginia, gasoline is just shy of $4 a gallon. I was down in Florida a couple of weeks ago, right around four, a little bit plus. So that's hitting real people. It's real money. And I don't know if the White House has been as effective as they could be, and frankly, as they need to be, if they're going to do something with the midterms.
I agree with you. I mean, I think we're in a little bit of trouble.
Yeah.
The poll numbers are not good. We're just over 60 days out. We got to turn it around. The House is not looking good. The Senate's in trouble.
Yeah.
There's a lot of local and state races. We're seeing that, again, it's a messaging problem, a communications problem. And it's going to take a real effort, I think, by the White House to get on message and to really tell the story. And, you know, there's been things like the president really wanted lower interest rates. Interest rates are really high right now.
Yeah.
And so he wanted the highest mortgage rates or whatever in like 20 years. And that is not the president. He wanted lower. The Fed has not complied. Mm-hmm. There's no reason that interest rates on the Fed funds rate are not down to like 2%.
Right.
They keep them really low for Obama and Biden. But when Trump's in there, they're trying to raise them and raise them. And they know it hurts him politically, and that's a problem. That's hurting us.
Yeah, yeah. Is there the ability to turn that ship in any way? Is there an ability for the president to stand up and say, hey, the rates should be lower, and I'm going to be working to get them lower? Or are we once again seeing the Fed with their own mindset saying we're going to be blissfully unaware of anything else going on?
The president has said quite a number of times the rates need to be low, especially under Jerome Powell. Now, his guy, Kevin Warsh, who's very good, is now the chairman of the Fed. The problem is he doesn't really control the Fed.
Mm.
He leads the Fed, but it's done with, I think, 19 governors
right.
and members of the committee. It's like the central committee of the party, right? Like like in communism, right? This unelected group that's deciding who lives or dies and how interest rates are going.
Yeah.
Generally, Fed policy has been all over the place. They seem to be more kind to Democrats than Republicans.
Yeah. God, I don't get it, but there's a lot that I don't get. Chris Ruddy joining us for just a couple more moments, the CEO of Newsmax. You mentioned being in Jerusalem and being with Alan Dershowitz. One of the highlights of my life, Chris, was being there in Eretz Yisrael. I owe everything to you and Maureen and everybody else who made that happen. And I still sit back and am amazed at what a funny, chatty, decent human being Alan Dershowitz is. I'm not surprised that he's decent. I mean, I've known that. But just the fact that he is so brilliant and so friendly and so doggone funny to the point that even Mrs. Dershowitz was saying, come on, Alan, it's enough. Stop telling jokes. Stop telling jokes. Sit down already. I loved it.
Well, Alan, I've known for a while. He's a regular contributor to Newsmax. He's been a close friend. And he's a Democrat. Well, he used to be. He left the party, but he's a liberal, but he's a reasonable liberal, and he believes in having both sides and fairness, and this is not accepted, and they're chasing out. That's the largest story. People like Alan Dershowitz are being chased out of the Democratic Party.
Yes.
Fetterman is being chased out of the Democratic Party, and these are guys that are traditional liberals. That's not good enough for them.
Right.
They don't want Bill Clinton. They don't want even Barack Obama anymore. They are AOC. They're Angie Nixon. They're El Sayed. And they have a radical left, and they're just trying to get people through this election. So, no, we're moderate. Meanwhile, they hang around with people that are saying death to the Jews and other crazy stuff. And it's just people need to wake up, and that could be a big help in the election for the Republicans.
Well, from your lips to God's ears, Chris, I am concerned. I'll just share this with you as a friend, and I'm sure Alan Dershowitz has said exactly the same thing to you as a proud American Jew or Jewish American. I don't know what gets top billing anymore. And for me, as someone who grew up as a Democrat, it pains me. I mean, it really cuts me to my core to see people chasing somebody like an Alan Dershowitz out of the party. But it also pains me to see folks who are my son's age, who should know better, who are gravitating towards that nonsense. And I fear for the future. I fear for the future. I'll offer that to you and do with it what you want.
Well, the way we protect in the future is acting now. You've got a megaphone. I've got a megaphone. Millions of Americans we saw in the election. Trump was just elected, right? People are standing with us. It's just keeping them on board and keeping them on message and keep... The media is overwhelmingly left-wing. That's a big problem we have. They still dominate everything. And I've been fighting these efforts by the FCC, allow all the big TV networks to consolidate.
Yes.
And you're going to have three companies owning all the TV licenses in America. Do you really want that? I think it's a dangerous thing, and it's disappointing the Trump administration, Brendan Carr, is pushing it. Newsmax has been opposing it.
Let me ask you about that. That's the whole Nexstar issue. Is that now a done deal, or is there still an opportunity for us to put the brakes on that?
Well, it's now in the courts because the FCC approved it, but they did it in such a way that it was so obvious. In fact, the federal courts in California are holding it up. The courts and it's continuing to. There's a suit that'll come out over the 39% cap.
Okay.
That's happening. So there's a lot of things happening that I think will be very good in trying to stop that. But the larger issue is, the FCC is trying to lift what's known as the 39% TV cap, and that blocks any network from owning all the little stations in America. And they want to get rid of it and let the TV companies own all the stations.
Wow.
And they're all liberal companies, I should tell you.
Yeah, yeah, there's no doubt about that. I got to say thank you, Chris. I want to get you back. And you know this. I hope you know this. You've got an open invitation, my friend. Anytime that you've got a couple of moments for us, we have always got room for you. Your brilliance, your insight is appreciated here. I continue to send people to Newsmax.com. I urge people to download that Newsmax app. And please, you let everybody at Team Newsmax know that we care about you, we value you, and we appreciate everything you
do. Jeff, as I tell everyone, you're the Jewish mother I never had. This is great. I'm brilliant. Get all my stuff. This is good. Thank you so much.
Kvelling.
I appreciate it, my friend.
Hashtag Kvelling. I love it.
Keep up your good work. Richmond needs you. Virginia needs you. America needs you.
Thank you so much. That is Chris Ruddy. Nobody better than Mr. Ruddy. He is the founder and the CEO of Newsmax. And I remind you, Newsmax.com needs to be someplace you're visiting on a regular basis. Newsmax, the app, whether you're on the iPhone or a Droid product, download it. It's real news all the time. Jeff Katz, News Radio WRBA.